Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
Moody on the mic, back for another week. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me, of course, Peter Moody. It's his podcast. Moods, we've got to get straight to it. It's a bit flat off the top here. How do you go with mediation? Are you a good mediator?
Well, our two co-hosts, Mytho and Rain Man, a little bit of a lover's tiff there last weekend. Is that what you're alluding to?
Well, I just think it's made it tough. I mean, it essentially, you know, Jamie Carr unwillingly has played a bit of a Yoko Ono role in potentially splitting up the Moody on the Mic foursome. Peek behind the curtain to those at home, you're not aware of our group text. We have, obviously, it's a group text between us four. But there was a bit of a tiff. There was a bit of a tiff between Rayman and Mytho on Saturday afternoon. I don't know whether it was the heat that got to them, but Legacy's obviously had a great win. I threw a text out congratulating, you know, what a great win for Legacy's, and then nothing from Rayman.
Got that, got that, Rog. Got your congratulatory text. Thanks for that. I think I commented at the time. Thanks, Rog. Yeah.
Cylinder wins, as you remember, Rayman, did, to his credit, did give him a show. The rest of us didn't. Lucky the handicap that didn't give Cylinder that extra 10 kilos off was the text from Rayman. Mytho, rightio, Tom, I missed your congratulatory text on Legacies. Take care of that broken arm. I assume you broke it patting yourself on the back. And then still nothing from Rayman in the way of, oh, yeah, great ride, great win, blah, blah, blah. I was expecting a thank you text for my advice to finally take Jamie Carr off. So, Moods, before we get to you, Mytho, to have another crack, I mean, talk about the self-congratulator of self-congratulators. Rayman just continues to show that only one person exists in this world, and it is Thomas Elizabeth Hackett.
Rayman on the mic, eh? Rain, did, now, let's get things a bit clear. Did Rayman tip Cylinder, did he?
Gave yeah, him a and then you had a crack at me, Moods. You had a crack at me for tipping Cylinder, and then you said that the handicap that Cylinder should have got an extra 10 kilos to be a chance. So that was my comment, was in response to Moods' comments on the podcast.
All right.
And then, but Mytho was jumped in. But I am going to put the hand up, as I do want to keep us all together. I want to keep us on a positive note, and I apologize to Mytho and to Moods for not congratulating them about the result of Legacies. I do normally, whenever we have a horse that's dear to us on the show, I do normally chime in. It was a busy morning. I missed out. But then I definitely did have a little bit of a head wobble moment when Cylinder won the new mark. And I did have Moods' quote ringing in my ears. So I'm going to put their hand up here and say I was in the wrong to not congratulate the team about Legacy, who is a filly I have a lot of time for as well. And then I would also like to point out that later in the day when Moods had another winner, big day for Moody Coleman Racing with Autumn Angel, I did put a boom in the group thread just to make sure that Moods knew I was looking out for him. So I will apologise. I don't often admit to being wrong, but I was, in this instance, I was wrong. And I
just before Moods, just while he sucks on that durry, I've just got to interject here, Rog. I mean, if you can understand the frustration that's really bubbling up to the surface, and in a very public way here on Moody on the Mic, Tom even has to claim credit for Legacy, so a horse that I have a great deal of respect for, that I really like. I mean, is anyone else getting the drift here that it's I. There's no I in team, but there's certainly me, isn't there, Tom? You can spell me if you use some of those letters.
Well, if you want to peek behind the curtain, Mytho, and you touched on it last year in the season premiere when you finally realised I was the head of content at Ladbrokes. It might be Moody on the Mic, but I could keep this show cancelled in 10 minutes. So
I love your work, Tom. I love your work. Congratulations on your tipping performance last weekend. No, the rest of us didn't have the insight to find Cylinder. Congratulations. Love your work.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll just say one more thing before we go. Rayman is quite high up there at Ladbrokes, and in a way, he's right, but I do know that there's someone significantly more powerful at the Entain group than Rayman, who is a big fan of this show, and I dare say that he would allow it. He would not allow it to be cancelled. So we'll just leave it at that.
There are some big fans. That is fair.
Now, Rayman and Mytho, like you're like arse cheeks. You're slowly coming back together after a big parting of the ways there, but. Listen, we'll pull together again, boys. We will pull together. But congratulations where congratulations are due. Jamie Carr and Cylinder, it was a very touching moment. The Dean Holland whip presented to Jamie. Jamie there with Dean Holland's family. And as we know, Dean replaced Jamie on In Secret last year and was able to win the new market shortly before. He's very untimely and, you know, When he left us in very sad circumstances. It was tragic circumstances. And listen, credit where credit's due again. Jay Carr, three Saturdays, three Group 1 winners, absolutely airborne again. Back where I think we all hoped and knew she belonged. But just to put things into context, not all riders suit all horses. And Legacies was a case in point on Saturday. We had a change of jock. It was my decision to have a little pull there. And replaced Jay Carr with B Shin, and she got the chocolates. Jamie Carr might have won on her as well. I don't know. But sometimes you've got to do those things as owners and trainers, and you piss everyone off. And it's not a matter of sacking jockeys. It's working things to suit your circumstance, as jockeys do to trainers and owners too, not only trainers and owners do to jockeys.
Racing, I think, unlike any other sport, does have the ability to throw up some unbelievable storylines. And like you mentioned, the symmetry of the fact that it was, you know, Jamie fell on this day last year. She was replaced by Dean Holland, who won the race. Same silk. She comes back and really signals that she is back to her very best in that very race. Incredible symmetry about it all. Just in regards to the changing of the jockeys and Jamie Carr, or Blake Shin replacing Jamie Carr and getting the job done on Legacies, Mytho, you'd have to think that Blake Shin's performance in getting Legacies over the line probably stitched him up the right on I Wish I Win. You'd think.
You would imagine. Also, you know, he lifted Quickster over the line a week ago, didn't he? And turned her fortunes around. So B Shin doing a job in those colours and for the Moody stable. So he'd have to be in line. Although I just further to that, because I threw a bit of fuel on that fire last week about Luke Nolan and where he sat in the scheme of things with I Wish I Win. I note with interest, and that was coming from a little bit of a privileged information point of view, because I get the updates from Moods every Tuesday. We get the video of all the horses working and the jump outs at Pakenham, and not to be seen for about 6 weeks, L. Nolan, since he had his last little mishap. And I noted with interest yesterday morning, back in the saddle, looking not at race weight, but certainly back in the saddle, and punched out a few for Moods at the jump out. So I want to ask this week and focus a bit more on, is Luke Nolan a good chance now to come back and partner I Wish I Win in, whenever you want to release the beast and let that horse off the leash move? Is he back, L. Nolan?
Well, L. Nolan's back on the tools after quite a few weeks away. I think he had a perforated bowel or something when that horse stood on him and had to be stitched up and something like that. But he's back at track work. Listen, when and where, I would suggest I Wish I Win will run first up in the TJ Smith Stakes on the 6th of April. So what's that, about 3 weeks Saturday? So I would think he's probably treading a very fine line. In regards to B Shin winning on two, I don't think I Wish I Win carries the Rosemont colours, so he probably hasn't done anything there to enhance his chances of getting the ride on I Wish I Win. But listen, once again, there's a fair bit of water to go under the bridge yet. And like I said last week, I think L. Nolan is the incumbent rider, and that usually puts you in front of every other bugger. But listen, I would think Luke's probably pushing Shite uphill, but I think there's probably bigger fish to fry over the next few weeks instead of worrying about who's going to ride I Wish I Win. Jamie Carr actually won on him as well. There you go.
Well, still giving absolutely nothing away. Luke Nolan might be pushing shit uphill, but if he's got a perforated bowel, he'll be pushing shit in many different directions. And it doesn't actually take it. The thing, Moods spills shit everywhere by having a podcast, not a perforated bowel. So there are many different ways to skin a cat. It wasn't a weekend for the shorties. Imperatory's beaten. Think about it, beaten. Amenable looked a good thing as well at Flemington. Beaten. Not a great weekend, but Imperatory still mighty effort moods. Carried the top weight, 58 kilos, trying to do what Black Caviar did in the same race many years ago. And she actually bled, so there was excuses, and she was tremendous in being beaten by Cylinder.
Oh, listen, that report of EIPH or whatever that report, if they scoped every horse at the race meeting, I would tell you probably 60 to 70% of them would have a trace amount of blood in their airway and lungs, as we would after strenuous exercise ourselves personally. So don't read too much into that. She was super. I thought Imperatrix lost the race at the start, actually. I just can't recall what horse it was. Might have been Ruthless Dame or something. One of them jumped sideways and just got Imperatrix unbalanced for probably 200 or 300 metres even before she really got into a nice rhythm and rolled along, and then she worked away. I thought she actually would have led and controlled. She was back in behind. I think it was Ruthless Dame and a couple of others. Cylinder just cruised down the outside unimpeded, you know, obviously with the luxury lightweight got the job done well and probably deservedly so. But I thought Imperatrix was very good in defeat. I wouldn't be losing any sleep there. And... wish I had one good enough to mix it with them.
Well, you do. You just haven't got it ready to run in these races yet.
Yeah, you do have one. You choose not to run it. You just like to look at it at home.
an ornament to racing, literally.
He's not even concentrating that hard enough. He hasn't even booked a jockey yet.
And what about the Golden Slipper picture, boys? We saw Chris Waller step Switzerland out on Saturday in the Todman at Rarewick. Have we found a serious challenge of a Storm Boy? What's the feeling there, team? Are the Colts superior to the fillies this year? We saw fillies be the first four home in the Blue Diamond, I think. And fillies have dominated the Slipper probably, you know, over the last decade. I know they haven't won them all. Storm Boy, Switzerland now ruling the roost. Is there a dark horse there, or are they going to be the two to beat in the Slipper?
I think it's shaping up to be one of the most interesting Slippers in recent memory, in my opinion. And I think probably the most interesting factor is, could Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Bott almost be a victim of their own success? Because they're going to have four of the five or six leading chances, but they're all on pace horses that go forward. So is there a scenario where Storm Boy, Lady of Camelot, Straight Charge, they all go forward, go hard early, and they just set it up beautifully for Switzerland, who looks like a horse that's going to have no trouble running out of 1,200 metres, and then he finishes over the top of them. There's a lot of different interesting scenarios that could play out in this Golden Slipper, and I think it's going to be the race of the autumn. I don't think it is just about Storm Boy and Switzerland. I think they are the two standouts, and they're deserving of their place at the top of the market, but I feel like it's a really strong two-year-old crop, and for mine, that's the race I'm comfortably most looking forward to this autumn.
And we'll get to the full preview, obviously, of it next weekend, but why not hire Sugi? I mean, Clinton McDonald thinks she's come along a huge amount since the Blue Diamond win, so, you know, why couldn't she go up there and show the Sydney two-year-olds that she's a champ as well?
Yeah, no, listen, you would think she's not without a chance of form. She's won her last three and gone through that Blue Diamond series undefeated, but she does need to lift again. Is my belief, so much so that I had a Neeser who got beat about a length in the Blue Diamond, I don't think I'm letting the cat out of the bag. I'm going to run a Neeser in the Magic Knight at Rose Hill this weekend and dodge the Slipper, because I don't think my filly's made the necessary improvement to probably beat those Colts. She's got to improve a length and a half to beat Hayasugi and Lady Camelot, and I think they've got to improve every bit of as that again, if not more, to be mixing with the likes of Storm's Boy, Switzerland and co. So, bit to play up, but two more winners, the Magic Knight and the Pogo this weekend, and then we'll have the Slipper field set. But that's for another week, as you said.
It is indeed, but we will look at the Magic Knight right up after this break.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, Yard Comment, and Black Book. Ladbrokes. What's gambling really costing you?
Let's kick off in Sydney, and it is the Magic Knight Stakes, which we spoke about just before the break. It's race three at Rose Hill, and Rain Man, it is the Peter Moody-trained Anisa, which has come up favourite in the market. That I think it only came out about 20 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, I was waiting for that market to come up because I was keen to see what price of Nizo we would get here. And it's $2.35. Peter Moody combines with, it's been a while since we had him on the show, J-Mac, but our former fifth panelist, James McDonald. Fly on the second line of betting at $4.40. Castagna, third line of betting at $4.80. Bit of early specking drifting, who's $14. But for me, I completely agree with Moods, and I think that Blue Diamond form is sort of a length or two below the form we've seen in the sort of the Todman and some of the other lead-up races in Sydney to the Golden Slipper. But I still think it's going to be good enough for Anisa to win this race on Saturday. We've always had a big opinion of her all the way through. I thought she certainly lost no admirers with that performance in the Blue Diamond, and she gets J-Mac in the saddle, which is a big tick. So deserving of her status as favourite for mine. And I'm happy to take the $2.35 because I think she's the best filly in this race.
I thought it was a tougher race than when I originally said to you, Rain Man, how about we have a look at it? And that was mainly just because Moots had two in it. He's only going to have one, you would think. And that being Anisa, I was hoping she might come up a bit better odds than $2.35. But look, that second start winning the Merson Cooper really sort of made everyone sit up and take notice. And James McDonald coming on, as you mentioned, is a tick, barrier nine. Interested to hear Moots' thoughts, but I thought was a reasonable draw for her. Rail true, only a small amount of rain forecast, so every horse should get their chance, and ideally she's charging over the top of them when it matters.
Rather me guess, why don't we hear from the man himself about the favourite Anisa before I give my tip. Talk me into Anisa, Moods, if I need to be talked into it.
Yeah, well, she had another reverse gallop at home at Pakenham on Tuesday morning and worked very, very well along with stablemate She Smashes. Damien Lane made the trip down to Ryder of the belief that we're probably going to go to the Golden Slipper, but in conjunction with having a chat with Connections and that, we've probably decided to take the low road a little bit and run her in the Magic Knight and then go 3 weeks to the Percy Sykes. Just thinking that a few of those big, strong colts might overshadow our girl. So, listen, I don't think it's a gimme, but I'll be disappointed if she's not right in the mix. Stablemate She Smashes will probably stay at home, so she comes in another one, probably 8 of 10. There's already one scratching out. There'll be good speed, as you would imagine. The Gate Waterhouse Bot team have got a couple of runners. You know, they usually roll forward and guarantee a nice gallop, and a couple of others there. I think Fly might have been the one from the Hawks stable. Was it another one with good speed? I just can't remember there anyhow. But so, listen, they'll run along. We thought we rode her probably a bit too close in the Blue Diamond, but she had too good a position to give it up. So I'd be disappointed if she's not running home over the top of them and running very well on Saturday, to be quite honest.
Righto. Well, I'll tip her with a close watch on Chateau Miraval. It's a horse we actually sold at Magic Millions last year on behalf of one of our clients. And I think she's a pretty talented filly, so I've followed her pretty closely. She was close up in the Sweet Embrace last start. Didn't get the sweetest of runs. From the barrier can do it a little easier from barrier three. So Chateau Miraval to Quinella it with Moods' Anisa.
All right, the Coolmore Classic is a race that's very near and dear to our hearts here on Moody on the Mic after Crone won it in the Rosemont colours. Was she in the Rosemont colours when she won it? But she won it 21.
Roll the dice colours.
Roll the dice colours, was it? It was a big push from you, Rain Man. We'll give you some credit there before you give yourself a pat on the back, I'm sure, in your summation of this year's event. But run us through the market.
Again, I only own the bloody horse, but Rain Man gets all the credit. Yeah, no worries. Righto. Good as
well. Well, you have to tip it.
No Crone in this year's field, but it's still a very interesting race, as it always is, the Coolmore Classic. Zugotcha is the favourite. It's $4.20. Three-year-olds have a good record in the race. Tropical Squall comes off the surround stakes. She's $7.50. Komochi, the early market mover with Ladbrokes, is into $8. Samana, $8.50, getting double-figure odds the rest. I do think Zugotcha is a deserving favourite, and she is the horse to beat for mine. First up in the Millie Fox, she was very good. The horse she beat that day was Lady Laguna, who has since come out and won the Group 1 Canterbury Stakes. So I think Zugotcha is definitely the horse to beat. I'm probably surprised you are getting $4.20. I thought she'd come up a little bit shorter than that. So I definitely want to be on her side. The horse I think is the value in the race is number 16, right down at the weights, Jenny Lala. Is $11 to win, $3.70 to place with Ladbrokes at the moment. She's a Group 1 place getter, Thought she was very good first up. Should take good improvement from that performance as well and draw nicely from barrier four with Craig Newitt in the saddle. So I think she's the one at a price that can give Zugotcha a race. So I'm playing around those two. Number one, Zugotcha, and number 16, Jenny Lala.
I've been on Revolutionary Miss for a while, and I definitely think she's worth a saver at a nice price in this race. But my main bet's actually going to be Tropical Squall, who is an early market drifter, but terrific in the spring, a Group 1 winner at 1,600 in the Flight Stakes, returned to first up win at Group 1 level in the Surround at 1,400 a fortnight ago. Now, she's drawn awkwardly in 17, but there's actually not a lot of speed inside at all in this race, to be honest. So I think she can actually get across and take up a reasonable position without doing a huge amount of work. And if she's able to hold off the charging of the Light Brigade late, which will come, then obviously she'll win the race. But there's some good horses in this. I think she might be the best. Second up, 1,500. If she does get away well at about $7, $7.50, then I'm happy to have an each-way play there for sure. But, yeah, definitely a good winning chance. Tropical Squall.
Well, yeah, after a terrific win recently. But Mare's in form. I'm going to stick to your theory, and I can't believe you jumped off Revolutionary Miss there, Rog.
I am saving on it, Mitho. I am saving.
Yeah, but wasn't your top tip, so you'll try and claim it next week. But I'll be the one that tipped her on top. 1,400, she's won three times, 1,600 twice, 1,500, never travelled at the trip. It might be her perfect trip. Given that record. So sticky sort of a barrier, but Mickey D, he rises to the occasion in these Group 1s. I'm going with Revolutionary Miss each way at reasonable odds there, Rayman.
You're getting $14 at the moment, Mitho.
Jeez, that'll do me for a horse that has gone bang, bang this preparation, winning the Tresidae and the Mannerism at both the Group 3 level. So Revolutionary Miss at the $14, great each way value, be on it.
I just think that form's probably a little bit below the Melbourne, the Sydney Mares, that Revolutionary Miss form, but that's just a personal opinion.
You also gave Zusto no hope in the Size Produce last week, who ran a slashing third, so I don't know why anyone listens to you.
Yeah, slashing third, yeah, that helps pay the mortgage, slashing third. I don't think I didn't give him any chance, but still.
It was more that he couldn't pronounce his name than not give him a chance.
I think we'll see how that form gets franked moving forward. Zugotcha, I found a first up. As long as the inside's not a disadvantage, I think $4.20 is a terrific odds. Great respect for Tropical Squall, but she's going to have to do a bit of work. I, unlike Rog, think there'll probably be a bit more pressure under her. But I think Zagotcha's just drawn to get all the favours. J-Mac on board. I think it wins again.
The All-Star Mile is a race which some really don't like and others are okay with. It hasn't really captured the public's imagination like we would have wanted, Rain Man, but nonetheless, it's the feature race this weekend and we get to see a champion go around as favourite in Mr. Brightside. Give us the market underneath the champ.
Yeah, Mr. Brightside is the odds-on favourite and has been well backed early. $1.85 into $1.70. He's going to be a dominant favourite to go back-to-back in this race. Prior to Jenny, who did beat Mr. Brightside during the Melbourne Cup Carnivals on the second line of betting at $3.90. My old mate Cascadian, who ran a ripping second behind Mr. Brightside in this race last year, he's $12. You're getting $16 Ayrton, $23 at Desert Lightning, who comes across from New Zealand. So this race really is about one horse, and I do think Mr. Brightside is comfortably the horse to beat, and I will definitely have him on top. I still think there's a few ways you can make some money on this race, even if you want to don't want to take on Mr. Brightside, but you don't want to necessarily back him at the $1.70. I think Pinstriped can run a race at a price. First up, this preparation, he's got a really good first up record. He was very good first up last preparation in the PB Lawrence Stakes behind Mr. Brightside. And if you look at that, the PB Lawrence Stakes compared to this race, it's really not that much different. So you're getting $5.50 for Pinstripe to run a place, which I think is a really good value. And I want to put him together in a little same race multi with my boy Cascadian. So for your same race multi, Mr. Brightside to win, Cascadian to run top three, into Pinstripe to run top three, we'll get you $65. And I think if this one gets home, you will forgive me for giving myself a little pat on the back.
Same Ruth Multi or standout box trifecta there, Rayman? I'm not entirely sure.
We're Same Ruth Multi company at Ladbrokes Rods. It's a superior product.
Rightio, Mr. Brightside is the best horse in the race, but I do think there's a couple that could potentially knock him off if he's off his top, which, you know, he hasn't been this prep, two Group 1 wins. I do think he'll win. I'm not going to bet it around $1.70. If you're looking to have a couple of specs around him for potential value, maybe in your quaddie, Pride of Jenny has to go in with some good speed with her and Buffalo River, a tractable, so the back markers wouldn't want to let them get too far in front. She can lead and win, as we've seen before, at Group 1 level. I also think Ayrton at near 20-1 is good each way value. He was very, very unlucky in the Blamey Stakes. He's in terrific form at the moment, and he grows in not an extra leg, but an extra half a leg at Caulfield. So I think Ayrton is worth an each way play as well. So if I'm going to have a same race multi, I'm going to go and Mr. Brightside to win, Pride of Jenny to finish top three, and Ayrton top four.
I'm not going to waste my money trying to get smart here. I'm just going to back Mr. Brightside. Are you betting $1.80, did you say, Rayman?
$1.85 into $1.70 now.
Right. Well, maybe just wait and try and shop somewhere around that $1.80 mark, depending on what the bookies will do. But it's just a throw in. Here's a beneficiary. Here's a check for a couple of million bucks, Mr. Brightside. Well played. Easy money if you can get it, Moods. It's not a full field, which worries me. The new format for the race without the people's vote and the hype around it doesn't seem to be there. I suppose you don't get that when there's groups of people talking about trying to get their horse in and who's trying, who's not. Not sure that, you know, they wouldn't want their time back over again with the reshape of this race. But as Mood said before we went to air on recording this podcast, two crack milers, probably the two best milers in the country, are going to slug it out there on Saturday. So race fans couldn't want for much more, could they, Moods?
No, you got Mr. Brightside, absolute superstar and airborne. But I'm going to tip against his on Saturday. Last time they met in the mile at Flemington, Pride of Jenny had the wood on him. I think it might have just been a dead set target race. Kieran Mars left Temptation go by running her since that very gutsy first up second behind Mr. Brightside. Gone the month between runs here. I see a leading, controlling. If Caulfield plays Caulfield, I think she'll give them something to chase here. And what price was Pride of Jenny? I missed that in the rundown. Sorry, Rain Man.
$3.90.
Yeah, well, listen, I think I'd rather be taking $3.90, you know, 7-2, 3-1 about her than odds on Mr. Brightside. I think she'll give you a hell of a sight. And yeah, her and Mr. Brightside, and I see a significant margin, barring incident, to the rest of the field, to be quite honest. Pride of Jenny for me on top.
No same race multi for Peter Moody, just a standout Quinella.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, see where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokes.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
All right, let's get to the best bets. Rayman, take the new ball.
I'm hoping I've got the same best bet as Moods this week because I'm very keen on one of his runners. Caulfield at race 7, number 4, Waltz on by. You're getting $5.50 with Ladbrokes, which I think is an enormous price. First up at Flemington was very good behind Sands Doubt. Moods was quite keen on that day, gave a good push. I think Sands Doubt's a very good horse, and Waltz on by ran really well. So I think she should take good improvement from that run. She has won second up in the past, and I just think she's a good horse. So Waltz on by at $5.50, I think it's an outstanding value bet.
I was going for 4 from 4 last week, and my tip, like I said, in race 1 at Flemington didn't win, but it did bleed. I definitely think it's one to follow, though, when it gets out to 1,400. Anyway, very tough weekend. I thought Aaron Bay was super winning last start, carrying 16.5 over 1,400 at Flemington a fortnight ago. Scratchings opened that up for him, but still, terrific run. Goes to the mile this Saturday, drops to 54 kilos in the anniversary vase, a listed quality handicap. I think he's going to be too good for his rivals with that weight in another small field. So Caulfield, race 5, number 6, Aaron Bay.
Yeah, quite time for the red colours over the weekend. Perilous Fighter and Outsider in the Rich Reef race, the 1,000-metre sprint. But came through that disappointing run last Wednesday okay. A couple of little tinkering jobs that Clayton Douglas has done. $23 in the market. Probably couldn't have mine on it. So watch there. And another dart at the dartboard, just as a matter of interest. I just like his style. Lindsay Smith with Glitter and Gold in the Pakenham Cup on Friday night. Said to him, look, way out of grade here. And he said, oh, I'm just going to keep throwing darts at a dartboard because she's got untapped ability, but she does so many things wrong. And the day it all drops, she'll win a nice race. So she's $81, I think, or thereabouts on the Ladbrokes market for the Pakenham Cup. I'm going to have a dollar each way her just in case Friday night she puts it all together in the Pakenham Cup. So I haven't got a best bet for you this week, but, yeah, I'll go Glitter and Gold. If that gets up, I'm just the king of the best bets for the year and the season, I reckon.
Fair dinkum. Talk about Rain Man breaking his arm and patting himself on the back.
Oh, not yet.
No, not. Bit of a quiet weekend for the boutique stable as well. When the red colours are quiet, the boutique stable's quite often quiet. But listen, I think Aniza, we've discussed her in Sydney in the Magic Night. Two-year-old filly first trip away from home, there's always a few variables, but if she travels up there and copes with a day, I expect it to be very hard to beat. Back to Caulfield, race six and the Reduce Choice. I'm thinking at this stage, stablemate She Smashes will be withdrawn from the Reduce and will probably take her place here in the... withdrawn from the Magic Night and take her place here in the Reduce Choice, along with stablemate Flying Straz. Now, this is a little filly that ran very well in Adelaide, its first start. And I just thought she hit the front at the top of the straight, probably got a little bit lost, rolled around and cost her the win. But with that experience under her belt, she's trained on well. Bold Bastille, I would imagine, would be probably quite a short price favourite in this race. Flying Straz, number six. Rain Man, what do you got there?
$20 to win, $370 at the place.
Yeah, well, that's massive overs. Have something each way, Flying Straz. I think she'll give you a hell of a sight. I reckon she'll be able to trail the other filly, Bold Bastille. And I think she'll run extremely well. And just for the fact that it is playing at home rather than travelling, the only reason I give Waltz on by my best of the weekend over Aniza is that she's only got to go 40 minutes up the road and not 9 hours. And I was keen on her first up. We just found one a little bit better. I think she's improved off that, and I think she'll be very hard to beat. Race seven, horse four, Waltz on by my best for the weekend. Good luck, good punting. Let fast horses run fast. Ladbrokes.